You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
I am still really excited to see you. I don't know how long it'll be that I'm like this, but I hope it won't go away for a long time. So yeah, it's just really, really good to see you. I wish I could see those of you who are online, but we're glad you're there as well. And we look forward to when we'll all be able to be together again. So have you ever met somebody who is way too excited about something? I have a lot of times, right? Somebody has a hobby or a passion and they get all excited about it and they talk to you about it. And you're like, I just don't get it. One time I preached a sermon, I think it was on loving your neighbor. And somebody came to me and said, you need to see this movie. And it said exactly everything you said today in your sermon. And I can't remember what the movie was. I know it was a superhero movie. And I went there. And at the end of it, he was like, see? And I was like, that was a good movie. I just have no idea why you're so excited. And I really have no idea how it related to anything I said in the sermon the other day. But he was excited, and that was good. It was kind of cute that he was so excited. Today is one of those psalms where it seems like the psalmist is a little bit too excited about going to worship God. And that sounds a little bit sacrilegious, but we're in these songs of ascent. And we've been through this journey where a couple of weeks ago, it's like you're in a far country and a land of hostility and lies. And then last week, Nathan led us through the next psalm, which was, now we're on our journey and we need God's protection. And in Psalm 122, we actually arrive. And verse one, the psalmist is super excited. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. And then he goes on to just explode with joy over finally being in Jerusalem. Do you feel his excitement? This guy is pumped to be there. I don't know if I'm allowed to admit this. What year did we go to Israel? Would have been 99, I think, 98. And, you know, we ended up in Jerusalem and all this. I mean, I was super excited to go to Jerusalem. And this is this part I don't know if I should admit. I got there and it was a little bit anticlimactic. This place where, I mean, Jesus walked, this place full of history. And we got there. I mean, I've read the Psalms about it being a place of beauty, of elevation. And I got there and it was like, huh, this is it. And it almost seems like the psalmist here is super excited about being in the temple finally. Why is he so excited to be there? If you picture it, I mean, it was impressive, but really, I mean, it was a bloodbath. It would have been crowded. I think the whole experience might have been overwhelming. Why was he so excited about this? And I want to think about us today. You know, for the past year, we've had really the option of attending any church in the world that we wanted to, because pretty well all of them were online. And the reality is, there's a lot that works against us getting excited about even, you know, sitting on our couch and tuning in, much less getting up and going somewhere. A couple of years ago, I read Sam Albury, and he said this. He lived in England. And you have to put what I'm about to say in perspective, because back then, church was not in a park. And he says this. Being honest, on Sundays, the park looked like a better option than church. He's a pastor saying this. He says he worked in it for a church in Oxford. And every morning he would walk to church through a park in Oxford. And it was sunny. And the place was full in the park. Everyone doing their thing and having a great time. And he was really wrestling with, why am I going to church? These people look like they're having a really good time. And I'm going into church. And he says this: church is an effort. It's sometimes hard, and it's far from normal. So why bother going at all? Why bother making it a priority in your week every week? Great question. And this psalm helps us answer that question. Why is it important? Why is it necessary? Why is it even a good thing that we're excited about what's going on right here, whether you're on Zoom or here in person? Okay, a little note here. In case you're kind of wondering how the psalm relates to today, obviously we don't live in Jerusalem anymore, or we're not on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Even if you went there today, you'd find a mosque there, not a temple. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD, but the temple represents something much bigger. The temple, I don't know if you've really thought about this a lot, but the temple actually is a little bit of Eden that was in Jerusalem. So when the instructions were given to build the temple, there's so much Eden imagery in there. And if you think about originally what Eden was, what was Eden? The place where God and humanity basically related to each other. And so the temple is this place where kind of heaven overlaps with earth, and we get to live with God together. So the temple wasn't just a place that you attended. It was a little bit of the Garden of Eden in our broken world. It's where God's space and our space overlaps, a place where heaven and earth meet. It really was the most important place on earth, the place where God chose to dwell with his people. One trip to England, we went to Buckingham Palace. I was dressed actually worse than this. I had a t-shirt on. I was not at all prepared to go into Buckingham Palace. And it was kind of cool because it was like, I can't believe I'm walking through Buckingham Palace. What would have been even cooler is going down the hallway and seeing the Queen there, and the Queen going, hello. And, you know, it would have been like not only Buckingham Palace, but the Queen, right? To go to the temple would have actually not only been going to this magnificent building, but actually God being there. That being the place where God dwelt with his people, where God said he was present on the earth. Okay, so what do you do with the fact that the temple doesn't exist anymore? The temple actually does exist still. When Jesus came to earth, he said he was the temple in John chapter 2, which actually makes perfect sense, right? If the temple is the place where God and humanity meet together, well, it makes perfect sense that Jesus was the temple, right? Jesus was actually God coming down to earth and meeting with people. So Jesus was the temple. And that's why Jesus could walk around and say things like, hey, tear down this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up again. He was like, I'm the temple. I'm now where God has come to dwell with humanity and recreate this new Eden, this new perfection. Okay, but Jesus has left, right? Jesus is back in heaven. So where's the temple now? Ephesians 2 says this: you are no longer strangers and aliens. And it begins to use all these images of what the temple or what the church is. You're fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And then get this: in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built into a dwelling place for God by the Holy Spirit. So, quiz: where does God now dwell with his people on earth? The church, and not the building, the people. Now, you are not the temple individually, but y'all are the temple. When we gather together, God is here. And so this is a little bit of heaven on earth. And if you look around, it's like, this is heaven on earth. This is God coming close to us and dwelling with his people. A little foretaste of what he's going to do one day. We get to be the very presence of God in this community. And of course, part of the larger church, right? I love Sundays because all around the world, hundreds of millions of Christians have gathered. God is present everywhere where they gather, in the middle of all that joyful worship, in the middle of this broken world. That's what God is doing. So what this means is you are part of something huge. When you put your faith in Christ, you actually become part of his living and growing temple. God draws near to us. God is with us today as we gather as his people. In fact, we have something even better than the temple in Jerusalem. They didn't know the fullness of God's love for them. We actually have seen Jesus, that he's done everything necessary to save us, that he didn't just die to forgive our sins, but he came to make us into a new humanity. And so the good news is, like right here in Liberty Village, we don't even have to go to Jerusalem three times a year. We have access to the temple every single week as we regather together. I can't wait, by the way, to the new earth, because actually it says Eden is going to be restored. And Revelation says that there will be no temple on the new earth. And here's the reason why. For the temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. In other words, you won't need to say, where does God dwell with his people? Because God's presence will flood that whole new earth, right? God will be present everywhere. So I can't wait for that day. So, but here's what I want to do, backing up. That's a long digression as to how we get from this psalm to here. There's a bit of a jump, right? I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the temple. Let's go to the house of the Lord. Well, it actually applies to us, because today you came to the temple. You came to be part of the church, which is God's new temple that he's building. Two reasons why it's a big deal, and then two actions I want you to take, okay? So here's two reasons why it's a big deal. First reason it's a big deal is the wow factor. Verses 1 and 2 again. I was glad when they said to me, paraphrasing what he said, man, I can't believe this. This is amazing. Can you, I just can't get over this. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. And then he goes on to describe what it was like. Can you get his excitement here? He is giddy that he gets to worship with God's people. A few years ago, I lost sight of that privilege. I became cynical about the church. And what happened was a lot of things. God convicted me, really. But I found a pastor, and I began to listen to him preach. And every week when he stood up to preach, he almost said what the psalmist says here. He would get up and he would say, guys, Sunday is my favorite day of the week. He says, if I had my way, every day would be Sunday. I spend my whole week, I can't wait to be together with you people. And then when he would talk to the congregation, when he would preach, he would say stuff like, you know, guys, I can't believe that I get to be your pastor. Honestly, I am so excited for the privilege of being your pastor. I just can't even believe it, that God has blessed me so much. And I could tell by the way that he said this, that he wasn't putting that on. He wasn't pretending. He was genuinely excited because he realized the immense privilege of being part of the temple, being part of the church, being part of the body. And what I want to say is the psalmist and this pastor teach us an important lesson. Don't lose sight of the wow factor. Don't lose sight of what's happening here. Can you believe that we get to do this, honestly? Can you believe that as we sang the songs a few minutes ago, Steffi, thank you for leading us. Can you believe that that was actually heard by God himself? Can you believe that my voice cracked there? Can you believe that God, he knew my voice cracked, but can you believe that somehow my singing was beautiful to him? Now, I don't think it was beautiful to Josiah, who is right next to me, but it was beautiful to God. Can you believe that? He heard you and he was pleased by your worship. Can you believe that this was purchased by the blood of Christ? This week, a church in Toronto sent, they were asking, man, do you need money? And I said, well, there's other churches that need money more. I gave them a couple names. I thought it was over. They came back to me and they said, we've decided to give Liberty Grace money because we know you're looking for a new building. They gave us over $4,000 to help us find a new building. And I just walked away thinking, like, man, God is so good that, can you believe, like, that's generous? Can you believe the greatest gift given to this church wasn't a donation like that? It was actually Jesus' blood. This church cost Jesus' blood. Can you believe right now, this is a place right now where heaven and earth overlap, that God is actually present with us today? These little, I hate these things, you guys know this already, these little prepackaged communion things. Can you believe that as we receive them, that actually Jesus is present here? He's the host serving us with his body and blood. Can you believe that Ephesians 3 says, when God wants to show his wisdom to earth, to heavenly powers, he points at the church and he says, see how wise I am. Right now, angels and demons are looking at us and going, man, God is wise. I always figure the only way that makes sense is if God points at them and said, look what I did. Like, if a carpenter took a bunch of rotten wood and made something beautiful out of it, I think we would say that is a wise carpenter. I think God looks at these people like us who are broken and says, do you see what I'm making of these broken people? I'm making something beautiful. And angels and demons are going like, man, I got to give you that. Like, look what you're doing. It's amazing. Can you believe that we're family? Shar and I were in a city in Wisconsin. We're in a restaurant and we look over and somebody's saying grace at a few tables over. You know, instantly I had this feeling, I'm far from home. I know almost nobody in the city, but two tables over, I've got family. Like, I've got family all over the place. Can you believe that God has made you part of this global family, that no matter where you go, you've got brothers and sisters, and basically like this, you can get to know them and within weeks be loved and cared for. You've got family everywhere. Can you believe the encouragement that we get to give each other, the way that we're able to build each other up? Can you believe that we're actually the bride of Christ? And by the way, Christ is the only husband who loves his bride perfectly. A good husband will never get over how lucky he is, how blessed he is to love his wife. Can you believe that Jesus looks at us and says, you are the apple of my eye. I love you. I've given myself for you. Man, this is a huge deal. We get to be part of it. The psalm reminds us, I am so excited that I get to be part of the church. Man, I am so excited. This is amazing that I get to be part of this. It is one of the greatest privileges of my life. Why does a church matter? Okay. Because of the wow factor. It is a huge privilege. But here's another reason he gives in verses 3 and 4 why the church matters. Not only because, like, wow, it's amazing, but verses 3 and 4, because of the way it brings people together. Okay. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but please don't raise your hands. Who thinks the whole coronavirus is overblown? Don't raise your hands, okay? Who thinks that we need to be careful, right? That this is a serious threat? Who thinks Justin Trudeau is a joke? You know, who thinks Justin Trudeau is a great leader? You know, I could go on and on. Who thinks that Liberty Village is overrated? You know, who thinks Liberty Village is great? You know, there are so many divisions. If we started, we could just split. Who thinks that Coke is really good? Who's a Pepsi person, right? Like, no end of divisions that we could bring up. That's the way it always is. I've got friends right now that it's very difficult to have a conversation because things are so divisive over so many issues right now. And it's hard because the world is so divided. But if you read verses 3 and 4, look what the psalmist says. Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together. Well, what does that even mean? I think what he's saying is it's built in such a way that it provides protection for the people who gather there. And in verse 4, it says, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. If you know anything about Israel, the 12 tribes, the tribes were actually a really big deal. I'm in the end of Genesis right now. I just finished. Near the end, Jacob pronounces all these different blessings and curses on all of the tribes. It's like, you know what? You're going to be great. Kings are going to come from you. You're going to be like a, you know, you're nothing, basically, right? All these tribes, I mean, we would get together. It would be like, what tribe are you from? And there would be this rivalry between them. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, right? I'm from the tribe of Judah. I'm from the tribe of Simeon. And it would be a big deal. But what's great about Jerusalem is when you go to Jerusalem, you're simply the people of God. It says here that the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. And all of a sudden within Jerusalem, as you worship the Lord, the tribal identities cease and you're just the people of God come to worship him. They lay aside their tribal identities and they pick up their identity of the as the people of God. What is the church? Well, the church, and we don't always get it right, is a place where conservatives and liberals, a church where the poor and the rich, where males and females, where different socioeconomic statuses all come together, different incomes, different politics, different nationalities, different accents, different jobs, and everything else, people that would never get along. They come together and they lay aside their tribal identities and they pick up the identity of the people of God, saved by Jesus Christ. I love what Don Carson says. They're a band of natural enemies who love each other for Jesus' sake. I love seeing churches where, I mean, people would never be all together except for Jesus because everybody's so different. Church is a place where we lay aside all of those identities and prejudices and simply unite around Jesus. It's a place where everybody belongs. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what prefix you put in front of you. Everybody belongs who names the name of Jesus. And the psalmist says, like, basically, wow. Why does church matter? Well, like, it is amazing. We get to be part of this thing that God is doing, where God dwells. And look at this. All different people get to come together and worship God and lay aside all their tribal identities. As we wrap up here, in verses 5 to 7, he gives us a couple of actions we can take in light of this. Given what it means to be part of the church, what it means to be part of the temple, what are some actions that we can take? Well, verses 6 and 7 say this. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. What he does here is he actually says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which was the place of the temple. I'll let you, if you want to pray for Jerusalem literally today, I'm totally fine with that. Pray for the city of Jerusalem. But I think the transfer over to us is pray for the church. Keep praying for Jerusalem if you want. Pray for the church. And then he personifies it. He says, he actually speaks peace to it. Peace be within your walls. Security within your towers. What can you do, given what the church is? Pray for the church. Personify Liberty Grace and pray for it. Speak peace to it. And not just Liberty Grace, but for every church, every Bible, gospel, believing, preaching church. We're on the same team. Pray for it. Man, like every time you walk by a church where you know the gospel is being preached, pray for that church. I hope that Liberty Grace is on your prayer list. I hope you're praying that God does something here. Pray for the peace, the prosperity of the church. And then, by the way, verse 8 continues, my brothers and companions' sake, I will say peace be within you. And then verse 9, here's the other thing that he calls us to do. Seek the good of the church. Verse 9, for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. What can you do to seek the good of the church, Liberty Grace Church, the church in general? There's kind of two ways to do church. One is where a few people do all the work. The other thing is when we're family, when we come together, where we all play our role and we're just like, man, we're all in. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to love each other. We're the church. We're going to make this work. Whatever it takes, man, dig in. We need you. Say, I am in. I'm just going to love the people God has given us. If you're here saying, I don't know where to start. I don't know what my spiritual gift is. Can I just say, start loving people. Just start saying, I don't even know what I'm good at, but I know I can do this. I can love and encourage other people. I'm all in on that. And just commit to show up. Why do we show up? Well, we need it. But when you don't show up, other people miss out on the ministry that only you can bring. I am sure that there's been weeks where I preach my guts out at Liberty Grace, but the main ministry that's taken place, that's okay. Like preach, I believe in preaching, but I know the main ministry some weeks has been a word that one of you said that was really needed by somebody else. Or in the corner, I've seen this happen. A little exchange takes place and I see tears begin to be shed and I see acts of financial generosity or encouragement or service to each other. When we don't show up, that doesn't happen. So, man, pray for the church and then seek the good of the church. Look for ways to love and to serve. Don't lose sight of what the church is and how it brings people together. Pray for the church and seek the good of the church. So, Father, thank you for Jesus who has made us this. Help us not to lose the wow factor over who you've called us to be together. I pray that you would unite us. Help us to live up to that calling. Lord, I can't believe that we get to be part of your church here in Liberty Village. Help us to be faithful in praying for the church and seeking the good of it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.